Thank you, Brenda. It's a real privilege to be here speaking to you all this morning. Thank you, Heather, for inviting me. And as Brenda said, I will be touching on the area of mental health, but basing this around verses from 2 Corinthians, particularly the area of treasure in clay jars in 2 Corinthians 4. One in four of us will suffer from some form of mental illness at some point in our lives. And if you have never been diagnosed with a mental illness but have struggled with issues such as worry, negative thought patterns, anger, fear of rejection, obsessional behaviour, the need for control, addictive behaviour, you'll be one of the many more who struggle with something that impacts on your mental health. Mental health is an issue for us all, as either we or someone we know and love will have or have had a mental health problem at some point in their lives. Historically, people with mental health problems were hidden away in asylums, and even though these have largely been closed down and mental illness has become more visible to us and is generally treated in the community, we still have a tendency to hide people away through our silence around the subject. Society's attitude towards people with mental health problems is reflected in poorly funded mental health services, often thought of as the Cinderella services of the NHS. Psychiatry is a hard to recruit to specialty in medicine. Counselling happens in a little room over there in secret, mustn't be talked about too much. And the attitude of society towards mental health continues to marginalise people suffering in this area, and the wider church isn't always much better. Anyone can suffer from mental health problems, including church members, church leaders, and it's possible that we won't know who these people are. There are many people hiding symptoms of illness, such as depression, anxiety disorders, in the wider church and in society, because they fear that it may mean isolation and exclusion. And I'm not talking about this issue just as a Christian psychiatrist. Some of you will have heard a little bit of my testimony at a brunch here last November, but I've also suffered from mental illness myself over the years, including eating disorders and depression. So I know what it's like to be on both sides, so to speak, suffering a personal mental illness, as well as perceived, but sometimes very real, social isolation. And that's often due to my own need to hide, but just occasionally due to the reaction of others when they found out. The way we differentiate mental and physical brokenness and see them so differently can only be from our very human and earthly perspective. There's an attitude in society that fears mental vulnerability, seeing it as a weakness or a flaw of character. There's an attitude that fears people who are perceived to be different, and there may be a belief that God cannot use us if we suffer in this area. But God has other ideas. His word suggests that we won't find strength in striving for or having perfect mental or physical health. We won't find strength in having the perfect anything, including perfect looks, body, job, marriage, family, or friends. He says that we will find his strength in our weakness. And verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 4 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." So it says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Clay jars in this verse symbolize our bodies, our minds, our lives, what we collect around us, our humanity. Clay jars at that time were cheap, breakable, dispensable, and of no intrinsic value. The only value came from what was contained within them. And just as I turned 40 last October, our then 4-year-old son very helpfully looked at me and laughed, and he said, "Mummy, you've got lines on your face." And even more helpfully, he recently added, "Daddy hasn't got any." But he was, of course, pointing out a sign of my aging. Our bodies, our minds, our lives that we build around us, the clay jars that we inhabit now, are breakable, they're vulnerable, aging, and will eventually die. If we know and love Jesus, we can look to the future not with uncertainty, but with hope, because we'll be with him forever. But in St. Paul's words, in this lifetime, we have God's treasure within. The treasure is the power of the risen Lord Jesus through the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 is one of my favourite verses and describes the treasure further. It says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And if you look around you now, the people around you carry the light of the knowledge of God's glory. They carry the presence of Jesus. They carry God's treasure. You carry his treasure. And through his treasure, we carry the message of hope of Jesus into the world. And the treasure that radiates out of us in this lifetime, out of our broken clay jars, will be all that's left when we die. It's all that really matters. So it's important for us to think about, what does the treasure look like in our lives? How do our lives reflect the life of Jesus? The treasure is found in cheap, breakable clay jars, in people marked by weakness, frailty and vulnerability, both physical and mental. But our weakness serves to enhance the power of Jesus in us. It enhances the gospel message that we bring. It doesn't distract from it. How can this be? The more cracks or weaknesses we have in our clay jars, the more the treasure can be seen through. Our weaknesses enhance the message of Jesus because they show that the treasure within us, the strength and power of Jesus, must be from God. It can't possibly come from us. The weaknesses that Paul is talking about in this passage are not sinful thoughts or behaviours, but are difficult circumstances. And much of what Paul was going through, if you read the passage in 2 Corinthians 4, was severe persecution for his beliefs. But it can be applied to illness, hardships, troubles, physical and mental wounds that are hard for us to bear. And these may be the very things, the broken and vulnerable parts of our clay jars, that God wants to use to demonstrate his power through us. The world tells us to embrace our strengths and overcome our weaknesses through somehow mustering strength from what's already a very weak self. But Jesus' response is different. It's counterintuitive. He says he can work powerfully through our weakness. Of course, we should still pray for healing and transformation because Jesus loves to restore us and to heal us. But by working in power through our weakness, he does transform us, cleanse and heal our hearts and minds, making us more like him if we choose to walk in step with him. And some words from worship song, "Break Every Chain," really stood out to me recently, that there is power in the name of Jesus, and we can call on his name to heal and to transform us. But we have to live with the tension that sometimes our weaknesses don't get healed in the way or timing that we would like. But we still contain God's treasure, and there is still power in the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul asked God three times for the thorn in his flesh to be taken away. And we don't know exactly what it was, physical or mental suffering, but he described it as a messenger from Satan there to torment him. But God didn't take it away, and he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul went on to say, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." God's call on our lives is often to do things that we don't feel confident to do in our own strength. When we feel utterly weak and broken and believe that we have little to give in our own strength, we have to depend on God. We have to draw closer to him, and he wants us in that place. He'll use us in that place, and we must continue to believe that he can. We must never be so despairing that we don't believe that God can use us. Jackie Pullinger has been known to say that she never trusts anyone who doesn't walk with a limp. meaning someone who doesn't have, or more accurately admit to, some sort of weakness, probably because she knows that when we acknowledge our weakness before God and others, this is the place where we will be on our knees, bowed before our Creator, depending completely on Him and offering ourselves to His service. This is the place where the treasure will shine through very brightly. And God wants us to say, "Take me as I am, Lord. No one is too weak to contain His treasure." It's an amazing truth that the power of God that lives within us, when released, often through our weakness, can bring healing and hope and freedom to us and to those around us. Our clay jar may be broken and vulnerable through our difficult circumstances or our physical or mental suffering. All are part of this fallen world, and we all have to contend with at least one or another at one time in our lives. Many well-known Christians have suffered from mental illness and been used mightily by God, including the great preacher Charles Spurgeon and the writer and preacher C.S. Lewis in the 19th and 20th centuries. Charles Spurgeon, who was integral to the 19th century revival movement, struggled with severe depression and was unable to preach for 2 to 3 months a year. In 1866, he told his congregation, "I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go through." And he went on to explain that every mental and spiritual labour had to be carried out under protest of spirit. Throughout the Bible, it's clear that God used people powerfully to His glory who were perceived by others to be weak, dysfunctional, mentally or physically ill, outcasts or lowly in status, people whom the world rejected. In the New Testament, Mary, mother of Jesus, was a poor peasant girl, still unmarried, at the time she was chosen by God to give birth to the Saviour of the world. Mary Magdalene, who Jesus had to drive out demons from, was a close friend of Jesus and the first to witness Him risen from the dead, the first messenger for Jesus. And we continue to hear today testimony after testimony of God at work powerfully through people who have been written off or rejected by society. And in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things." And he goes on to say, "So that no one may boast before Him, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Being strong, or attempting to be strong or look strong, all by ourselves, doesn't seem to get us very far with God. But we seem to be predisposed to dislike being in a place of weakness. It feels exposing, a vulnerable place to be. We may try to hide from God, but He knows everything already. The one who created us isn't surprised by our weakness. He fully loves us, and He loves us with a love that is unfailing. It's constant and it's faithful. And none other love can ever satisfy, whether we hide or not. But when we try to hide from God, we won't experience fully His power working through us. We won't fully experience the depth of His love. When we try to hide from God, we won't experience the fullness of the plans that He has for us, because we won't get to know Him more, trust Him, surrender everything to Him, and allow Him to take control fully of our lives. We may try to hide our weakness from those around us, but when we do, our relationships remain stagnant. They don't move on, and others will hide from us. When we hide from others, we never experience the depth of love that is possible between us. We may believe that people would prefer to look at a beautiful, elegant porcelain vase, at least something a little more beautiful than the cracked clay jar or cracked pot that we are. And although we have to take care of our clay jar in a functional way, insofar as it has an extraordinary job to do, to house the treasure, we may go to great lengths in our own strength to go beyond this, to try to make our clay jar look much better to the people around us. And just at this point, I just wonder if maybe people could get into little groups in your table just for a couple of minutes, just ask the question of one another, if you feel, you don't have to say anything, but if you want to, but why and how do we try to make our clay jars look better to others? Maybe we can just, I don't know, set three groups of three or four, something like that. Okay, can we come back together? Sorry to stop the chatting.
Shout, Kate.
Oi!
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy. Welcome.
Before I carry on, would anyone like to feedback from their groups? There's no obligation, but if anyone wants to... Anyone got anything to say? Yeah.
One of the things we're saying is to share something with people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you. Anybody else?
Sorry.
You were saying you're going into a place of weakness in order to kind of share with somebody, but then staying in that place of weakness is difficult, and it's you quite often want to kind of go back into a place of strength and not stay.
You want to share something with people.
Yeah. 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 And anyone, did you say you had some? Yeah. So there's a fear that you may upset other people if you talk about things that have happened. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've been very encouraged in our pots.
Yes.
So we've been very encouraged.
It's a story. It's just a picture story, really, that a marksman went to was cracked and one was sort of fallen.
Yeah.
And he felt really, that this cracked pot felt really disappointed that he never brought enough water back with him because it was half of it was gone by the time it got there. And the master said to the
Yeah.
And it was that the flowers from the table, you know, so we leak, and that's
So that the pot with water in that was leaking was actually watering these seeds, which were then growing, and our crackpots are